Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I think Russia needs to be very careful in the judgments that it makes going forward here. We are not looking for confrontation, but we are making it clear that every country should respect the territorial integrity here, the sovereignty of Ukraine. Russia has said it will do that, and we think it's important that Russia keeps its word.
There you go. Secretary of State John Kerry drawing another red line that won't mean anything like the other red line did, so why are you drawing it? What do you think? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage here on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282 gets you in. MichaelSavage.com online. And yeah, we're going to talk about John Kerry here coming out trying to warn Vladimir Putin off and how that's going to work. And then I want to get into what's going on with this woman, a woman in the United States, who is trying to live off the grid. She's been doing it for a year and a half. She doesn't pay any utilities. She's cut herself off from electricity, from their water, and the city she lives in is very mad about it. Wait till you hear the details on that one. And before the hour's out, Google trying to stop any law that would go after distracted driving. Because, you know, they want you to be able to drive with Google Glass. And they want you to be able to walk around with Google Glass and go in any place you want to with Google Glass. Hence the name now people are being called who go around with their Google Glass on all the time. Glass holes. Oh, dear. So we're going to get in all that this hour, the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. So there's John Kerry coming out, telling Vladimir Putin, Russia, be very careful. Wait, he wouldn't say it that way. He'd say it the other way. That's how Vladimir Putin would talk. So he's saying, look, be very careful. So here's the big question for you to start this whole day. What do you see as America's role in what's going on in Ukraine? Is there one at all? I don't want the United States to be the world's police. I think we've been the world's police too long. I don't want us involved with another war. Do you? I feel for the Ukrainian people. I want the people in Ukraine to be able to determine their own government. And they are a sovereign nation. I certainly don't want Vladimir to run in with the big tanks and shoot boom. I don't want any of that. But I certainly don't want to get us involved in any kind of shooting war. And I certainly don't want one American life lost over it. And I know there's some people, well, are you saying that American lives are more valuable than Ukrainian lives or Russian lives? As a human being, no. As an American, yes. Yes, because we are Americans and we need to take care of ourselves. I guarantee you the Ukrainians are not going to run over and take care of us if somebody attacks us. And I wouldn't expect them to. So what's our role? And why is John Kerry coming out here trying to tell Vladimir Putin to be careful without any real plan on what to do if he's not? I mean, this is Syria all over again. Remember, Obama comes out, there's a red line that you can't cross. So then they find out the chemical weapons were used, which was supposedly the red line. We go, well, we're not sure they were used. Then they were used again to the point that you couldn't avoid noticing. And they said, well, that wasn't really my red line anyway. And then they had nothing to do. They had no idea what they were going to do. And then John Kerry makes an off-the-cuff remark about, well, you know, if they got rid of their chemical weapons, then, of course, everything would be okay. But, yeah, obviously, they're not going to do that. Russia swoops in. Oh, that's a great plan. Knowing that they never would. And now we're right back to where we were before. And we act like we did something. Because there wasn't anything to do. So the question is, or else what, John Kerry? Strong letter to follow? I mean, what? You remember Dave Chappelle when he had the Chappelle Show? That was a great show. He was hilarious. And there was one where he was pretending to be the black George Bush president. It was hilarious if you didn't see it. But he was talking about the UN, and the UN was mad at him And he said, what are you going to do? Sanction me? What are you going to do? The UN doesn't have an army. Then shut the bleep up. You know, that's basically the attitude that the world seems to be having towards us now, even though we do have an army. Why? Because he talks loudly and carries a limp stick. It's kind of the opposite of the old Teddy Roosevelt motto. So what do? Why do you, see, you don't, it's kind of like when you're a parent. Are you a parent? You know, with my kids, my wife and I live by the credo, never threaten something you're not willing to do. Do not threaten your child with something you're not willing to do. If you do that, you're grounded forever. Well, your kid knows you're never going to be grounded forever. That's just stupid. So your kid does it, you don't ground them forever, and now they realize that what you say doesn't matter. And what you say isn't true. Compared to, let me tell you something, if you do that, this is going to happen. I mean, I had a friend of mine kept leaving his shoes in the middle of the walkway in his house, and his mom told him, Joe, if you do that again, you're going to find your shoes in the bottom of the swimming pool. He didn't believe her. Next morning when he got up for school, he couldn't find his shoes. They were in the bottom of the swimming pool. Guess what? He never left his shoes in the middle of the floor again. Because he realized his mom meant it. So if you don't mean it, don't say it. And they don't mean it. Hey, let's hear Cut 13 from John Kerry. A little bit more of the warning to Vladimir.
I think Russia needs to be very careful in the judgments that it makes going forward here. We are not looking for confrontation, but we are making it clear that every country should respect the territorial integrity here, the sovereignty of Ukraine. Russia has said it will do that, and we think it's important that Russia keeps its word.
Because we've got Putin putting troops in Western Russia on alert. He's ordering drills to test combat readiness. Obviously, it's a message. You got protesters involved in a confrontation outside the Crimean capital. Now, down there by the Black Sea fleet, you've got the Black Sea fleet there from Russia that is in that area. So it's a very pro-Russian area. They had a little protest against each other, the pro-Ukrainian and the pro-Russian people. Got a little bit of shoving and pushing going on. And so you're working this thing out. You're working this thing out in Ukraine. And here's Kerry trying to warn him. But warn him with what? So what do? I don't want to be the world's police. I also don't want to allow Russia and China to continue to rise without any check on them and expect no negative consequences for the United States of America. So what can you do? Verbally support them? Work on more free trade with them? Help them out economically if need be? I mean, that's a big problem in Ukraine is the economy. That's one of the big reasons. Now, obviously, a lot of it was what happened with the supposed deal they were working on with Europe, and then at the last second, the president of Ukraine agreed to this big deal with Russia, and there were a lot of the Ukrainians who felt like that was too close of a deal and a stab in the back to the people. But if you look at the economy, did you know in 1990, Ukraine's per capita income was about $8,200, roughly equivalent to Poland. Now, Poland, average person bringing in about $18,300. And Ukraine's average person, it's gone down to $6,400. Yes, the economy, stupid. That has a lot to do with it. So do you work with the allies to keep pressure on Russia to stay out of it? Do you do anything? What do you think? Let's start with Dawn, KSFO. Dawn, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi. I agree with you that we should not, our politicians should not threaten anybody or just, you know, subliminally threaten anybody. We just should say that any country that is striving to become independent economically and culturally, we will support. And supporting them, you know, economically and with trade would be one way to do it. But I wouldn't, threaten anybody. You know what I mean?
Yes, I'm with you 100%, Dawn. It makes a lot of sense. Thanks. You know, one of my friend's fiancés. What? Sorry, that sounds like he has more than one fiancé. Let me try that again. My friend's fiancé. He's got, Greg, I only have one. All right. She is from Ukraine. And she still is a citizen of Ukraine. She's just over here right now. And it's very interesting to see her perspective on this. And she said, you know, there's been this bubbling problem between the Ukrainians and Russians for a while. You know, the, of course, Ukraine used to be part of the Soviet Union. An awful lot of Russians moved into Ukraine, and now generations of Russians have lived there. And then it goes back to being a sovereign nation, and you've got some Ukrainians that are, you know, very proud Ukrainians that don't even like Russians. She was on a bus, and she speaks both Ukrainian and Russian. She was on a bus, and she's talking Ukrainian to the person in front of her, and then the person behind her says something to her in Russian. She turns around and starts talking to that person in Russian. When she stops and turns back around, the Ukrainian person leans over to her and says, "We are Ukrainian. We don't speak the language of dogs." Yeah, there's some tension. There's a little bit of tension between some of them. Let me get Bobby in, WABC. Bobby, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have to say, Kerry, he remembers when Russia was fighting in Afghanistan. He
sure.
remembers how we helped the Taliban, and still they kicked their butt. But I'll tell you something, Russia will never...
Actually, Russia got its butt kicked in Afghanistan.
That's what, I'm sorry, you're right, that's what I meant to say. But Russia is never going to give up the Ukraine. That is the breadbasket of that whole area.
Yes, you're right. It is like the Midwest here in the United States in terms of farmland. But Bobby, the thing is, they've already given it up in terms of Ukraine is a sovereign nation. What you're saying is they're not going to give up any sphere of influence in it if they possibly can.
And we have no business in our internal affairs. What's he
do you not think we should even support them verbally or even support them and say, hey, you know, we think the people of Ukraine should have the right to choose who their government is or anything like that? Just totally ignore them or what?
But Obama... But Obama's actions are showing different. Why, with our military cut and everything, don't you think Russia sees this? Don't you think Russia knows that now's the time to show their muscle? What are we going to do?
I think you're absolutely right. That was my point at the beginning, Bobby. We're not going to do anything. And thanks for the call. No, you're right. I think the world is seeing that America's not going to do anything. Now, here's the thing. Here's where I'm conflicted. I don't want us to get into anything militarily. But here's the part that I think Obama doesn't get. If you want peace, you prepare for war. You have to be so strong that the other country doesn't even want to dream of messing with you. I mean, that's why when you have a hostage situation, like somebody's got somebody in a house and they're holding them hostage, you don't show up with two cops and ask the guy to come out. You surround the house with police, SWAT, maybe even bring in FBI. Maybe you have a helicopter or two flying around the top. And you know why? So that the guy inside looks around and goes, oh, crap, I am not getting out of this. I give up. That's why. So you don't have to shoot him. And you're right. You know, that is being lost there. There's no doubt about it. And Russia and China are both looking around. They've measured the man, Obama. They found him wanting. And they think, hey, now's the time to push our advantage. And you know what? They're probably right. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. Love your thoughts on it. Oh, and, you know, there's some great news coming out of Egypt. You got to hear this. Stay tuned. We'll get it to you in just a second. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
I think to some degree, Russia has not been in touch with some of what's been happening on the ground here. I think there were some encouragements by some people for Yanukovych, President Yanukovych, to take, former President Yanukovych, to take a very harsh position here. And I think the people made their wishes and their aspirations as clear as you can make it.
Yeah, it's John Kerry saying that they just didn't know what was going on there in Ukraine. And we do, because John Kerry knows more about what's going on in Ukraine than the former president of Ukraine does. I mean, just some of the... Well, wait a second. We should be trusting the Obama administration on handling this, because look what they did in Egypt. Oh, wait a second. All right, but look at how the Obama administration handled Libya. That was all right, but wait, then they really learned how to do it in Syria, because that's really all right. Never mind. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. What do you think our role should be, if any, in what's going on in Ukraine? You know, by the way, when I said that Vladimir Putin has taken the measure of the man, Obama, and found him wanting, it is such a repeat of history. If you remember Khrushchev, Kennedy, and their meeting, and you remember what happened? We ended up having the Soviets moving into Cuba, and we had the Bay of Pigs, and we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, we had all this stuff, and even Kennedy admitted, in retrospect, quote, "He beat the hell out of me." That's what he told the New York Times. He said it was the worst thing of my life. He savaged me. Khrushchev found Kennedy to be a weak, inexperienced leader and thought he could roll him. And that's the kind of thing that happens when you have somebody who was a community organizer become the president and commander-in-chief and issue these weak, dumb threats that they're not going to follow through on, that they shouldn't have given in the first place. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on. 855-400-SAVAGE. I want to get Leo in, KKOB. Leo, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yes, thanks for taking my call. It seems to me it wasn't too awfully long ago that Vladimir Putin took out a full page and published in the New York Times cautioning us against invoking American exceptionalism.
Yep.
I think Dr. Savage nailed it on the head himself. I mean, this is way out of our sphere of influence is the deciding factor here, and it's in their backyard. So, I mean, it's not our concern. We should not be saying anything at all about it.
Leo, you don't even think we should be supporting the people of Ukraine who are a sovereign nation? You don't think we should say that they have the right to choose who their government should be?
Well, if push came to shove, I think, yeah, we have the right to say it, but...
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I don't think we should get in militarily. I understand your point. By the way, that thing about American exceptionalism, Putin has no idea what it is and totally misrepresented it in that piece. Totally wrong. We don't have time for it now.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays at noon till 3.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp.
ASFO.
I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. You can join in with us at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, or michaelsavage.com. I'm going to get you the story in just a minute about this woman here in the United States who has decided to live completely off the grid, and the city she lives in is fighting back. What? What do you mean fighting back? Well, she can't do that. She's not allowed to live off the grid. Come on. This is America. What? Oh, and I wanted to get you this. Listen to this. This big news out of the Times of Israel. More than 36 million people worldwide have died from the AIDS virus across the globe. Another 35.3 million currently live with AIDS. But don't worry. We have a cure. What? Oh, yeah. Egypt has the cure. Egyptian General Dr. Ibrahim Abdel Atti, chief of the medical branch in Egypt, said this: "We defeated AIDS. Rest assured, we defeated AIDS. And indeed, I conquered AIDS with the blessings of my Lord. Glory to him with a rate of 100%. Said he has pioneered a method where he extracts the disease, breaks it into amino acids, and then he feeds it back to the body and it becomes nutrition for the body. Huh? Yeah, quote, I take AIDS from the patient, feed the patient on AIDS. I give it to him as food, and this is the top of scientific miracles. And I conquered the C." He means hepatitis C. See, there's a bonus. He cured AIDS and hepatitis C. The scientific community outside Egypt doesn't really think they have. "I can find no evidence to support the claims that this device detects hepatitis C or any other viruses as mentioned in the patent, nor any clear theoretical rationale of how it would work." That's from University of Glasgow infectious disease specialist Emma Thompson to the BBC. Well, they said they have. This is big because the Egyptian military looking to consolidate power. So, you know, claiming that you can cure AIDS and hepatitis C might help. Great. All right. Sounds good. A lot of you want to chime in on what's going on in Ukraine and whether the United States should be involved in this at all, with John Kerry warning Vladimir Putin that he better be careful. He better back off. Let's hear Cut 12 one more time from John Kerry here.
The rapidity with which the people's will be heard or felt in today's society. And I think the rapidity with which it has moved should, frankly, be a message to Russia. And Mr. Putin should listen carefully to Ukrainians who have voiced their desire for change.
Yeah, and said he better be very careful. And said we don't want an old war confrontation, and that Kremlin should keep its word over the unity of Ukraine. And NATO says it'll continue to support Ukrainian sovereignty and independence. To what degree? And what happens if Vladimir says, you know what? Really? You think so? You think you're going to do something? How about I roll these tanks in? What are you going to do? Let me go with Jimmy, WABC. Jimmy, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a lot of Ukrainian friends, some of whom here are very active, and they're active in connection with the people in Ukraine. I'm an anti-communist activist, by the way. But people have to remember, there's a reason there's a heightened sense of freedom and nationalism in Ukraine. They just had their 80th anniversary, just finished, the 80th anniversary of the Soviets murdering 10 million people in Ukraine from 1932 to 33, starved 10 million people to death on some of the best farms in Europe. It was so bad people resorted to cannibalism, but still 10 million people died.
Yeah, for people that don't know, let's refresh their memory. Stalin here, he designed this famine. It was a forced famine to stop Ukraine from getting their independence. As you mentioned, breadbasket of Europe. They'd grown tons of food, plenty of food, not only to feed them, but millions of others. And it was a forced starvation, anywhere from 7 to 10 million dead is the estimation. And that was, like you said, 32 to 33. Yeah, go ahead.
So, but there's more to it. Recently, we found in Soviet or communist archives, Lenin was calling for the confiscating of grain and crushing the kulaks with the most ruthless terror. Lenin was telling the German troops after World War I or during World War I, Lenin was ordering German troops in Ukraine to attack the Ukrainian people. So the Ukrainian people were always had their foot on their throat by Russia, even before the communism. But when the communists killed that, the Ukrainian people just want to be free and independent. Unfortunately, I support them. But unfortunately, they're either going to be controlled by Russia or they're going to get into the European Union, which is called the New European Soviet by Gorbachev.
Yeah, you're right that there's going to be some sphere of influence from one side or the other, and it should be up to the people to decide it. But once again, we go back, and thanks for the call, to what role should America have in that and how much should we get involved in that? And, you know, I think I don't know anybody that says let's roll our tanks in there. I don't think anybody wants us to get into another war. So why is John Kerry acting like he's threatening Putin? Is that the way to handle this? Or could it even backfire on us where Vladimir goes, oh, yeah, I'll call your bluff because I know you guys are going to do squat and actually maybe intensify Vladimir Putin's reaction? Because this is the guy that wants to be photographed with nothing but a thong on, fighting a polar bear while also kicking a saber-toothed tiger in the face. Right, this is what he wants people to see him as. And do you think he wants to be seen as backing down to somebody like John Kerry, who eats a Geno's cheesesteak with a knife and a fork? Are you kidding? No, I don't think so. Hey, I want to get you this story in, too. This is the kind of stuff that just drives me crazy about what's going on in this country. There's a woman in Cape Coral, Florida. And her name is Robin Speronis. And she's living off the grid. She's been doing it for a year and a half. And here's what she does. She uses solar power to power her house. She lives in Florida, plenty of sun. She has disconnected herself from the city electric and the city water. She collects rainwater and treats it to drink. She has propane that she buys on the outside to do any other kind of heating or cooking she needs to do. She's totally off the grid. And the city found out when the local news did a story on her saying, look at this woman living off the grid. A lot of the food sheets are non-perishable, so she doesn't need a refrigerator. All this stuff. And once they showed this story of her in the news, the city of Cape Coral, Florida, cracked down. Oh, she's not living up to the city codes. She can't just do this on her own. And they slapped a sticker on her wall on the outside of her house. Uninhabitable property. Do not enter or occupy. This structure is vacant and unsafe, unfit for human habitation and occupancy. And then they signed it and they had the warning, you can't go. It was not uninhabitable, and it was not vacant. And so she's fighting it. Luckily, she had a guy, a lawyer there in town, who saw what was going on, and he volunteered to take care of her pro bono, Todd Allen. And they went and they started talking to the city and said, hold on a second. She says, I'm just choosing to live without being dependent on the system. I don't have to worry about those bills coming in. But it's being challenged by city codes. The special magistrate had to rule on this. And he did say she was not guilty of not having a proper sewer or electrical system, but was guilty of not being hooked up to an approved water supply. Now, wait a second. How can you be forced to hook up to what the city decides is an approved water supply if you don't want to use it? How is it the city's business? How is it any of our government's business to tell you what must be hooked up to your house? If you don't want electricity, if you don't want water, if you don't want all the stuff that they offer you, what business is it of theirs to tell them that you have to? How in the world did that ever become a city code?
Well, because we got to take care of people, because if they don't see, then they might drink some water that's not treated, and then they might get sick, and then we have to take care of them.
Well, you know, when you go down that road, then there's nothing the government can't tell you to do. Can't say there's nothing the government cannot tell you to do, right? It's kind of like, I mean, the next thing you know, they're going to be forcing you to buy health insurance. I mean, oh, wait a second. So she's fighting it. City code officials say, well, we're not trying to single out anybody. It's just making sure everybody follows the rules. But your rules are stupid. They said she has a month to comply. She said, I'm not going to comply. I don't have to justify my life. They have to. They have to justify it. I don't. She's right. Now, here's the thing, though. There's one, and it's very interesting because if you check on this, I thought when I first read this story, I was going to find some woman who looks like a homeless woman who hasn't bathed in a year. No. She's a very well-put-together woman. She's got her hair done nicely. She's got her makeup on. She's wearing a nice business suit. She has a job. She just doesn't want to be on the grid. Leave her alone. Now, the only part where I agree with the city of Cape Coral, Florida, is that she was using the sewage without paying for it. And I guess, you know, in your bathroom, even if you're not hooked up to the water supply, what you can do, if you just fill up water in the tank of your toilet, you can flush it, right? Because it's all based on the gravity of the water going down. So have you ever had that where there's no water in your house, it's turned off, but you're able to bring in some water, fill up the tank of your toilet, and you can still use your toilet? So that's what she was doing, and she was using the sewage. But they're claiming that she owes thousands of dollars on the sewage system that is unpaid. She's only not been using it for, not paying for a year. How can she owe thousands? That's an awful expensive sewer. So they capped her sewer. All right, then leave her alone. If you capped the sewer, then leave her alone. And one other thing I must mention, I don't believe it really has anything to do with her living off the grid, but she does have a criminal past. Just want to be completely honest about this woman. She's not a hero here. I mean, she has pleaded no contest to larceny. She was sentenced to 10 years of state probation in order to pay $32,000 in restitution. She also had a real estate license revoked following a second complaint that she'd not returned a deposit following a failed condo sale. So to be full disclosure, but does that change anything on whether or not she should be allowed to live off the grid? I mean, if she wants to live off the grid, why in the world should you be able to stop her? This is the kind of thing that bothers me that's going on here. From the NSA tracking your metadata, to the IRS going after conservative groups in the Tea Party, to the lies we've been told right on down the line from Fast and Furious to Benghazi to how Obamacare would work over and over and over. Is it any wonder that people are losing faith or have totally lost faith in what their government tells them? And you've got a woman who just simply wants to be left alone. and they are going after her because she's not hooked up to the water supply? Yeah, there's something wrong here. Something seriously wrong here. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Take your calls, and I also got to get you the very latest going on with the Google Glass holes and Louis Farrakhan. It's all coming up in just a second on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. We've been talking about the situation in Ukraine, John Kerry threatening Putin, and we've been talking about this lady in Cape Coral. She was living off the grid in Florida, and the city's going after her. Let me talk to you about it. Let me start with Joe, WABC. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Hello, Greg. I was just hearing what you had to say about that case in Florida. And, you know, it's kind of a good safety backup system. You know, we've been warned about the possibility of a terrorist attack with a nuclear bomb over in space over the United States that would disrupt the whole electrical grid, producing an electromagnetic pulse. Well, if more people had the ability to be independent of that grid, it could be a good possible backup.
Absolutely. Everybody should be able to do this. And it makes you wonder, why is the city so worried about one person pulling herself off the grid? What is it that they're worried about? Thanks, Joe. And let me get Andrew in as well in St. Charles. Andrew, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. I was listening to the story, and I was wondering, like, it just seems like the city just came to this woman's property and just put a on there. I was wondering, like, what the rules were that the city has to go through to actually put that sticker on there. It just seemed fair to me.
It's a great question. You're talking about when they slapped on there, uninhabitable property. Do not enter or occupy. The structure is vacant and unsafe, unfit for human habitation. It's this big official thing that basically was trying to kick her and evict her out of her house. Well, the media followed up on that when she alerted them, and then they came back to the media and said, well, see, municipalities really don't have the power to evict. We just put that notice up because they just wanted access to the home to provide suggestions so that she can live off the grid. Oh, really? Well, she didn't want your suggestions. She doesn't need you coming into her house. She certainly doesn't need you slapping that big sticker on it to make it look like somehow she's done something wrong. But that's what they did until they were caught by the media. And I'm telling you, it brings the question, why are they doing this? Why do you think they're doing this to her? Let me get Steve in, by the way. Steve, Casey Moe wants to talk about the situation in Ukraine, where Kerry's threatening Putin. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Greg. Thanks for taking my call. Great to hear your local voice. Hey, nobody in the world stage is afraid of Obama in the Ukraine. I'll go back to the inauguration day of President Ronald Reagan. Within 30 minutes of his inauguration, the Iranians released the hostages, and Gorbachev back down, and it was the breakup of the Soviet Union.
Yep. That's a good point, Steve. I appreciate it. Peace through strength was a big deal, wasn't it? Peace through strength. And that doesn't seem to be... Listen, President Obama said he was going to fundamentally transform America. And he's doing it. He's doing it. Pretty much exactly what he said he was going to do. Beverly, WBAP, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
I am so embarrassed by our government, who are so arrogant as to be able to stand up there and threaten Russia. They don't have a right to threaten anybody. They can't even take care of their own country. And what are they going to do if we have to go to war? There ain't any money to go to war. We're trillions of dollars in debt. So who do they think they are? They're just...
Well, here's the thing, Beverly. We're not going to go to war, which makes it even dumber for him to threaten this. And it is stupid. I mean, it's just not smart. But when have you seen President Obama do something smart lately? When have you seen him actually tell the truth lately? I mean, he keeps saying people like us on talk radio are lying, and everything we've been saying about his administration has turned out to be true. He really thinks you're stupid. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation. You can join us at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, and michaelsavage.com. We're continuing this discussion about this woman in Florida, South Florida. She's living off the grid, and the city's very upset. And the city wants to force her to connect to the city water supply because she needs a safe drinking supply. Well, she's drinking treated rainwater that she collects, and she's taking care of herself. Why won't they allow her to do it? We'll continue to talk about that. And we finally have a politician admitting the reason they want amnesty for illegal aliens is so that she can have people to mow their lawn and, you know, work as maids. I mean, come on. Who's going to do that otherwise? I mean, these are jobs Americans won't do. Are they really? I'm going to get you the details on that. And the global warming story keeps getting better. Now we've got the Greenpeace co-founder saying there's no scientific proof that humans are the dominant cause of a warming climate. Uh-oh. Get Al Gore on the line. The Greenpeace co-founder is a denier. He's just deniers. The science is settled because I said so. So we're going to get all that and more this hour of the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me throw you this, and then I'll come to you. There is a congressional candidate in Florida. Her name is Alex Sink. She is a Democrat. She ran to be governor and lost to Governor Rick Scott. So she's now running to try and get a congressional seat. You know what? This is the other problem I have with these politicians. Is this all they can do? I mean, all they can do is run for office? Can you not go make a decent living like everybody else? Can you not start a business? Can you not go get a job, a real job, or actually contributing to society instead of being a leech off? Oh, so all politicians are leeches? Well, no, no, most of them. Yes, because they're living off you. These people that go to D.C. and stay there for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, like the Dingleberry that's resigning. When you're there that long, yes, all you have done is taken other people's money in taxes. And all you have done is redistributed other people's money forcibly, and you act like somehow you're a hero. You want to have a bridge named after you because you built it. No, you didn't build it. You took other people's money at the point of a gun through taxes and had it built by other people simply because you were able to vote for it and pass a law, and you act like somehow you built it. No, that bothers me. That bothers me. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. So this woman, Alex Sink, is up there talking about the idea of amnesty. Listen to what she said on why we have to have what she calls immigration reform, which we all know is amnesty for illegal aliens. This is cut to Alex Sink.
Immigration reform is important in our country. It's one of the main agenda items of the Beaches Chamber of Commerce for obvious reasons. Because we have a lot of employers over in the beaches that rely upon workers, and especially in this high-growth environment, where are you going to get people to work to clean our hotel rooms or do our landscaping? And we don't need to put those employers in a position of hiring undocumented and illegal workers.
Yeah. See, I mean, we're putting the employers in the bad position of having to break the law and hire illegal aliens because nobody else will do these jobs, and we're in such a high-growth environment. Did you know we were in a high-growth environment? Have you checked the unemployment rate recently?
Well, it's down to 6.7%, Greg.
No, it's about 14%. It's just that people have quit trying to work. And as more and more people fall out of the workforce, it makes the unemployment numbers go down. We're not in a high-growth environment. Are you kidding me? Where are you going to get people to clean our hotel rooms and do our landscaping? I mean, she's not the only one who has said this kind of stuff. Luis Gutierrez, Democrat, told C-SPAN a couple weeks ago, Americans need illegal aliens because without them, who would be working in the fields? Who would be doing the dirty, back-breaking, filthy work of working in agriculture? See, the only choice is to legalize illegal aliens or have nobody do the work, right? That's the only thing you can do. Okay, a couple problems with this. First, I'm going to prove to you in a second that it's wrong that Americans won't do this and won't do these jobs. But secondly, what's going to happen then when you legalize these people they unionize and demand higher wages and better benefits, well, then I guess they're not going to want to do those jobs either for the price that is being offered. And so then the employer's going to have to hire some illegal aliens again, and we're going to repeat the cycle all over again, just like we did after Ronald Reagan gave amnesty in 1986, and we were promised it would never happen again, right? Okay, now I'm going to prove to you that it's ridiculous to say that Americans won't do these jobs. Now, maybe a lot of Americans don't want to do these jobs at the wages they're offering. And yes, there is economic proof that the wages in these fields that have high participation rates of legal and illegal immigrants are kept artificially low because of that. But I got a great study here done by Stephen Camerata and Karen Ziegler from Center for Immigration Studies. They took the Census Bureau data. Okay, they didn't make up these numbers. They took it from the Census Bureau. From 2009 to 2011, where the Census Bureau did an analysis of 472 different occupations in the United States of America. And they looked at who does these jobs. Guess what they found? Maids and housekeepers. 51% of the people in America employed as a maid or a housekeeper are Native American-born citizens. 51%. Last time I checked, that was the majority. But I thought these were jobs Americans wouldn't do. Taxi drivers and chauffeurs, 58% Native American-born citizens. Butchers, meat processors, 63% Native-born American citizens. Grounds maintenance workers, 64% Native-born American citizens. Construction laborers, 66% Native-born American citizens. Porters, bellhops, concierges, and hotels, 72% Native-born American citizens. What about janitors? Nobody wants to be a janitor. 73% Native-born American citizens. And it goes on and on and on. They only found six occupations. Six that were majority immigrant, legal and illegal, who were the workers. But even in those fields, 46% of the workers were Native-born American citizens. How about that? But no, these are jobs that Americans just won't do. And the other thing they found out, by the way, Native-born American citizens have higher unemployment in high immigrant occupations, about 14%. And that was from 2009 to 2011. That was compared to 8% in the rest of the occupations. And by the way, high immigrant occupations are not always low-paying jobs. 36% of software engineers are immigrants in this country. 27% are physicians in this country. Are those jobs Americans won't do? So you get down to the nitty-gritty of this and you say, hold on a second, that's not what we're being told. And the other thing that we were told is, you know, look, we're going to go after these companies that are illegally hiring people who aren't supposed to be here. We're going to go after, and I think we should. Look, the demand side of this problem is big. You should not be able to hire an illegal worker, because what you're doing is you're breaking the law and you're getting an unfair advantage over your competition. Let's say I run a landscaping company and I want to hire a few extra guys to take on a few more jobs. And I'm bidding on these jobs and I keep losing these jobs to this guy across the street because he's hired all illegal alien workers and he's paying them less. And he's not paying the taxes on them, and he's not paying the benefits on them. He's not doing the stuff that I'm doing by hiring legal workers. And he's getting this unfair advantage on me. Why should he have that? And by doing this, he's part of the magnet that is pulling illegal aliens into this country. The way you handle that is you actually go after these employers who are doing this, and when you find out that they're knowingly doing this, you fine the heck out of them to the point that it's so risky for them that they may lose their business license and they may have to pay so many fines that their business closes down that they'll stop doing it. This isn't to be mean. This isn't to be punitive. This isn't because you can't empathize with people who want to come to this country. It's about saying, we have borders for a reason. We have laws for a reason. We can't take everybody. And there is the fairness part of this. How is it fair to somebody who's coming here legally to allow the illegal alien to jump in front of the line? How is it fair to the American citizen paying his taxes to have so much of that go to illegal aliens who cross the border? How is that fair? What about the fairness on this side? And how is it fair for the employer who's trying to do it the right way to have to compete with the employer who's breaking the law. So Obama said he's going to go after this. Well, we have a story out of the Washington Times today saying that Obama has eased the penalties for businesses hiring illegal aliens. A 40% decrease on average on the fines that are being assessed to these businesses who are found to be knowingly breaking the law. The audit came from the Homeland Security Department's Inspector General. In one instance, they cut a fine from $4.9 million to just a little over $1 million. 78% drop in the fine. Why? The report shows that they're reducing the fines about 40%. And it undermines everything that Obama said he was going to do in going after part of the problem of illegal immigration. You got to ask yourself why. I think it's pretty clear. He doesn't really want to solve this problem. The way he wants to solve this problem is by giving amnesty. And he hopes that those are going to turn into Democratic votes. And the Republicans, the mainstream ones, the Chamber of Commerce ones, they want to give amnesty because they think it's going to get them cheap labor. And they're hoping that eventually it's going to win over the, quote, Hispanic community. First of all, I don't think there is such a thing. I like to treat everybody in America as an individual. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you're on. I also want to keep talking to you about this lady living off the grid in South Florida, where the city of Cape Coral, Florida, doesn't want her to. They took her to court. They tried to shut down her house. That didn't work. And now they're saying that, well, okay, you don't have to have the electricity, but you do have to hook up to at least clean water. Why do they have the right to do that? Let me start with Stella on WABC. Stella, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi, Greg. I think the officials in Florida, just in the city officials, don't want her to live off the grid because maybe as the story gets out, people might think, hey, you know, this isn't a bad idea. Let's just follow suit and see how it works for us. You know, people are just so tired of, I mean, I myself, of the government nosing. I mean, they know everything about us. So maybe besides her saving money, living off the grid is a way for her to become or remain a little bit more anonymous.
Yeah, more anonymous, more independent. It's a good point, and maybe they don't like that. But, you know, how many people are really going to do this? This is not an easy thing to do. But is it just that they don't even want one person to do it? I mean, is that really how bad it is? Let me get Dave, WBAP, on that, too. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. Greg Knapp filling in for the doctor. Go ahead.
Hey, Greg. Well, I want to make sure that she's drinking that fluoride. And, you know, our city governments are getting worse than the feds. They want total control of our lives. And they do not want to leave one penny left unturned. I would also submit that code enforcement people, they need something to do, so harassing citizens is a high priority. And they're just going in line with what our governments are doing from the city, state, county, and federal level. It's total.
It does feel that way, Dave. I mean, from red light cameras to speeding cameras to license plate readers to, at the federal level, the NSA, to you just start to feel like, hey, man, what is going on here? To, you know, and it looks like all these things are to make money. They claim that it's for your safety. It sure looks like they're to make money when you get down to the bottom line of it. And he's talking about, you know, this woman collects rainwater and treats it to drink, and yet they're telling her she has to be hooked up to the city water system. Why? Let me get Homer in on it, too. Homer, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg, how's it going? Yeah, I can, you know, sympathize with that lady, even though she probably lives inside the city limits.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, but I was wondering, I start to read more and more stories, and so I'm just now starting to do some research. Maybe you have done some. More and more cities are passing ordinances where you cannot collect rainwater or harvest rainwater without first paying for a permit.
That's a great point. And thanks for the call, Homer, because they did that. I remember the story where, I think it was in Oregon, where the man was collecting rainwater to feed his cattle and feed his horses on his own property. And they came and said, you can't do that. You're stealing the rainwater. Stealing rainwater? It rained on my property. What are you talking about? Well, because if you let it run off and run through, it collects over here for everybody to use. This is my property. So you can't do that. Yeah. So... what? So now I can't even collect the water that rains down on my own property. And by the way, if I let it run off my property, then I have to pay for rainwater runoff. Man, you've got to love it. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. We'll talk to you about all this and Wait till you hear about the co-founder of Greenpeace. He has got Al Gore going nuts. We'll hit it in a minute. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
My name is Greg Knapp, in for Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. We were talking about this Democrat who said, hey, if we don't give illegals amnesty, then who's going to be our maids? Who's going to be the people mowing our grass? And I just showed you that, well, the majority of Americans do that right now. Judith wants to chime in on this in Santa Fe. Judith, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I am the sole proprietor of a small janitorial business in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I am a native born American citizen, and I'm here to say we will do the work that needs to be done. And secondly, about the woman who's off the grid, this may sound really simplistic, but just follow the money. I think it's about revenue for the town. One more person off the grid means one less person paying for the...
Sure. And they don't want people to start that trend. And I think that there's probably some truth to that. I think there probably is. I appreciate the call. We've also got Parker in Colorado that want to chime in on the illegal alien thing. Go ahead, Parker.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say I'm an American citizen also. I'm not native, but I was born and raised in Colorado. And I have one of those slave labor jobs. I'm a mover. And when it comes down to it, when someone else comes here, they have to take a test to get a citizenship. I never had to take any test that made me know I knew the Constitution. So it's harder for them to be in this country than it really is for me.
Well, now, hang on. I have nothing against legal immigrants. We're not talking about legal immigrants. We're talking about illegal immigrants.
Yeah, and it's about money. They want to put a house over their head and
sure.
Talk about it.
No, but be clear here. I don't have a problem with legal immigration. I'm talking about the illegal immigrants. That's a totally different story. So let's keep it clear. Take more of your calls on this and the Greenpeace co-founder coming up. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE get you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. A couple of things in the hopper. The woman living off the grid and the city's mad at her, trying to stop her. And this Alex Sink woman, Florida Democrat, one of a couple Democrats now, coming out and just basically saying it. Yeah, we need illegal immigrants because who's going to mow our yard? Who's going to do the landscaping for the golf course? Who's going to work as a maid in our house and in the hotels? I mean, we need these people because nobody else will do it. And we went through the Census Bureau numbers, and guess what? A majority of native-born American citizens are doing those jobs. And then there's a mixture of legal and illegal aliens who are doing them. Well, so there are jobs that Americans will do. They will do those jobs, and more of them will do it if you actually pay more. And you know what? Here's the other thing. This is artificially keeping the minimum wage low. When you can get people who will do this for minimum wage or even less, then why raise the pay? But if you take away that artificially low labor supply, then they'll pay more. The free market will work that way. But not if you just continually keep throwing in people who are willing to work at a substandard wage compared to the people who are living here legally. And that's always left out in this debate. Love your thoughts on all this. And I want to throw this one to you. Greenpeace co-founder has now come forward. Patrick Moore, Canadian ecologist, business consultant, co-founder of Greenpeace. He told members of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee that, well, this whole global warming thing, yeah, maybe not so much. He helped establish Greenpeace, and he said it uses faulty computer models and scare tactics to promote claims that man-made gases are heating up the planet. Quote, there is no scientific proof that human emissions of carbon dioxide are the dominant cause of the minor warming of the Earth's atmosphere over the past 100 years. He went on to say even if the planet's warming up, wouldn't really be bad. He said mankind is a subtropical species. And he's right. You know, it used to be warmer on the planet, and when it was, there were more crops, and man was doing better. Man is made to live in a warmer climate, not a colder climate. He left in the 80s, he said, from Greenpeace because the organization became more interested in politics than science. After 15 years in the top committee, I had to leave as Greenpeace took a sharp turn to the political left, and it began to adopt policies I could not accept from my scientific perspective. Wait, those evil conservatives who aren't scientific. We're the ones who are actually looking at science and the scientific method, and that's why we say the science is not settled, because the science is never settled. You're always doing more experiments. You're always looking at more data. And as you get feedback from the data and it shows that you're wrong, you're supposed to admit you're wrong and change. And all the data shows that these climate models that the global warming believers have put forward have been wrong, 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 and wrong. Hockey stick, totally disproven. The amount of warming they said would happen now, not even close. The fact that we've had a 16-year pause in warming, they have no explanation for it. They keep coming up with new ones, and none of them actually work. And yet, we're supposed to be the global warming deniers. Al Gore came out, he's given a new speech now, where he's telling everybody, look, everything I said was true. They used to laugh at me in my movie when I showed water coming into New York City, but that happened with Hurricane Sandy. Of course, what he's not telling you is, that happened because of a hurricane surge. His movie said it would happen from the sea levels rising. Those are two totally different things! And we had the exact same thing happen with a hurricane in New York City before the Industrial Revolution. But Al Gore doesn't put that in his movie or his speech. So now you got the Greenpeace co-founder coming out saying it. That's something, isn't it? I guess he's not a scientist either. You know, he's one of those deniers. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE and you're in. Hey, let me jump to Mark here, WJR. He wanted to chime in on the idea of President Obama seems to not be going after employers as much for hiring the illegal aliens. He's decreasing the fines against them by as much as 40% on average. Mark wants to chime in on that. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. Great show from the suburbs of Detroit. I understand your premise, and I don't entirely disagree, but here's my concern. If you're a small or big business, and you get a job application, you get a copy of a state-issued driver's license, you get a Social Security card, they sign an I-9 form. From a business perspective, I think they've done their due diligence. I think when the southern and northern borders are secured by the federal government, the politicians' ex-attorneys, and the businesses can tie into an actual Homeland Security computer verifying the person in front of you is good or bad, and maybe charge each business a small fee based on your gross revenues and the amount of employees you have, you know, then at that point, hold that guy or girl responsible for hiring somebody that shouldn't be there. But until you secure the...
Sure. Here's the thing on that, Mark. I agree with you, except for two things. First of all, what you described of them doing, of taking a state driver's license, a Social Security number, the I-9, if they do all that, they're not in trouble. Because they have to prove that you knowingly hired an illegal alien. So these are the businesses that they know. These guys aren't giving you legal documents. And secondly, we already have a voluntary system called E-Verify that if you want to, as a businessman, you can access it for free. And all you have to do is call it up. And it's very quick, very easy. And so there are ways to check right now. If all you need to do is have the guy's name, date of birth, Social Security number, see if it all matches up. It's done like that. So there are ways for this to happen. So, yeah, if you are knowingly hiring an illegal alien, that's what they have to prove, you should be in trouble for it. But if they're giving you pretty decent documentation that could fool people, then it's not your fault. And that's how we do it right now. That's how we do it right now. Let me get Leo in, too. KCMO. Leo, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hello, Greg. How you doing?
Doing well.
Okay. I just want to talk about, you were talking earlier about the illegal aliens not paying any taxes. And I can tell you.
I don't think I said that, but go ahead.
I can tell you that here in Kansas City, there's a company that's hiring about 150 illegal immigrants, and their taxes have been taken out of the paycheck. Now, the illegal aliens, they're not going to report that, but the employer is supposed to report that, right?
Of course.
Okay, so where's so who is saying that illegal aliens don't pay any taxes?
Well, two things here. First of all, if the companies aren't reporting that, then they should get caught, and that's what I'm talking about with President Obama. It seems to not be doing it very much. But secondly, Leo, I got to contest that the illegal aliens don't file taxes. In fact, we are giving illegal aliens tax ID numbers. We're saying, hey, here's a tax ID number. I know you can't really have one because you don't have a real Social Security card. So here's a legal tax ID number so you can file taxes. And you know why they'd want to file taxes? To get an earned income tax credit. And we found out that we have been given tens of billions of dollars to illegal aliens who are claiming multiple dependents who don't even live in this country. So they're here working illegally, and they're claiming dependents and using the same address to claim this for like a couple hundred illegal aliens, and they're getting money back from you and me in a form of welfare because they're getting back more than they paid in their payroll taxes and income withholding taxes based on the number of dependents they're claiming. So this is going on right now. It's unbelievable, some of the stuff that goes on with this, and yet we just keep doing it. So the premise there isn't quite correct. Let me get Ann in WABC. Ann, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, and for the doctor, go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for making time for me. It's so crystal and it's so clear as to why you've got all of them working in synchronicity. You've got illegal immigrants with the Obamacare and everything and anything that can tax us. They need to economically cripple us. Our economic prosperity, should we have it, would completely throw all Democrats off their scale. They have no, there would be nowhere for them to have their platform. Our despair, our displacement and uncertainty is a certainty for them that we will always need them. And they are the party of come to mama and come to papa. So I don't see why we don't. Why can't we see that they're trying to completely flatline us and deplete us? Because the central control that they want, they cannot afford to have us being strong and focused. We need to be diffused, static, and displaced.
Well, Ann, thanks for the call. I will say this. I'm not quite as pessimistic about everything as I know a lot of America is getting. And I don't have my head buried in the sand. Believe me, I understand where you're coming from, Ann, and to a point, I understand it, especially when we have a certain group of liberal politicians who make their power off saying, you can't succeed on your own. You need us. You can't make it. The man is keeping you down. That evil 1% is just so greedy, every one of them, they're just exploiting your labor. You can't even get a job. You can't get a college degree. You can't do anything without me. But you elect me, and I'll get you into college, and I'll pay for it, and then I'll get you a job, or if I won't get you a job, at least I'll get you some benefits, or I'll get you some welfare or disability, or I'll get you something. Look, you need me, because you can't do it. And you got to keep them in a one-down position to have that person believe he needs you to vote. Why do you think every time they talk about the idea of privatizing Social Security, where you would get to put everything that's already taken out of your paycheck for Social Security into a private account, that would grow well beyond what Social Security is going to pay you, and you'd even be able to pass on to your heirs when you die. Why do you think every time they talk about doing that, they go crazy on the left? Because they know if you're not voting for them because supposedly they're protecting your Social Security, there's another reason not to vote for them. If you're going to be on your own because you're have enough money in retirement now that you don't need them, then you're taking away votes. So yeah, I do agree there's a part of that that's true. I don't think it's as complicated as all that for the situation with amnesty. They want cheap labor, and they want cheap votes, and they think they can buy them. The one side wants the cheap labor, the other side wants the cheap votes, and then you got the Republicans who are caving in like normal. So, you know, that's a perfect storm. What else do you need? I mean, it's exactly what you thought it would be. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. And I'll take your calls, but I've also got something new here that is just crazy to me. There is a new craze coming out, and it's about hair implants. No, I'm not talking about plugs. Joe Biden, leave them out of this, all right? It has nothing to do with Joe Biden. This is about beard hair plugs.
You won't believe who's doing it. You won't believe why. You won't believe how much. We'll get all that in your phone calls, too. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. And we're talking about the illegal alien situation, big one. And I want to, and we're talking about the Greenpeace guy, the co-founder, coming out saying, you know, there's really no scientific evidence showing that man is the main reason for climate change. And it's been warmer before, and you know what? Man does pretty well when it's warm. As a co-founder of Greenpeace. Oh, dear. It's crumbling. Get Al Gore on the phone. Stat. And I want to throw this at you, too. The instant hipster. How do you become an instant hipster? Well, here's what you do. You go and you get a $7,000 instant stubble treatment on your lunch break. What? Dr. Jeffrey Epstein is the top plastic surgeon in New York City. And he says he treats about 3 beardless patients a week. He removes healthy hair follicles from their heads and uses microblades to reinsert them on their face. He used to see only a handful of cases a year. Now he sees about 3 a week. Whether you're talking about the Brooklyn hipster or the advertising executive, the look is definitely to have a bit of facial hair. Man, I didn't realize how hip I was. I mean, I'm kind of lazy, so I don't shave every day. And it'll go 3 or 4 or 5 days, and then my wife says my face is scratchy, and then I'll shave it. Man, I am hip. I am the hipster, and I didn't have to pay $7,000. Said the Brad Pitt scruff is one of the most common requests, along with the Tom Selleck mustache. What about the Duck Dynasty beard? That takes a lot longer. You can't do that on your lunch break. It's not quite as hip either. Said I get a lot of detail-oriented people, artists, architects. Hey, I wonder if this is covered in Obamacare. You know, because Nancy Pelosi is always saying that she wants to allow you to pursue your dreams. What if your dream is to have the Brad Pitt stubble? And it's not currently covered by your insurance plan. $7,000, that's a lot of money. Why should the poor person not be allowed to look like Brad Pitt? I think we need to work on this. We need to find, maybe we could do crowdfunding, maybe get it on Kickstarter. Can I find some way for some of these people? Oh, forget all that. Just take people's taxes and pay for it. That'll be a lot faster. And anybody who wants Brad Pitt look should have the Brad Pitt look. And why should, it's just not fair. It's not right. Why I want to look like Brad Pitt? It's going to take a lot more than a beard for you, buddy. A lot more than that to look like Brad Pitt. All right. Okay. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in. A lot of people still want to chime in on this idea of the woman being taken off the grid. She's living off the grid, and the city getting very mad about it. Let me get Lois in on that in WBAP. Lois, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, and for the doctor, go right ahead. Hey there.
Yeah, Greg. Hey, Greg.
Donna, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. I just want to preface by saying, whose America is this? Our supposedly noble public servants are such experts at lining their pockets under the cloak of what's, and I'm quoting, best for the public interest.
Yeah, and I agree. That's what I brought up, the whole thing with this woman living off the grid. She's just minding her own business, and the city's coming after her. The only thing the city, I think, has a right on this is saying, hey, she was using the sewage, and she wasn't paying for it. Okay, she needs to pay for it. Other than that, why were they trying to shut her down? Well, because they don't want you living off the grid. They don't want you being independent. They don't want you... Somebody called them and said, well, no, it's because it's a health issue. Wait a second. She was plenty healthy. Nobody was complaining about it until it came out in the news. They can't have that. Can't have it. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. You can go to michaelsavage.com for some of the stories that we're talking about today and a bunch of other great stuff. Well, I want to talk to you about the top 1%, income mobility in America, the supposed end of austerity, which I never knew started under Obama, and Harry Reid already stopping the minimum wage increase bill. Why? Because the Democrats are balking. Uh-oh. What? This is the number one thing on Obama's agenda. Can't even get the Democrats on board. So we're going to get into all that. We've also got Joe Biden on voter ID. And we've got interesting information on jihadi groups and the jihadist in Great Britain who murdered a soldier. All this coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. Some crazy stories out there. Let me start with good old Joe Biden. Oh, Joe was giving a little speech to BET for Black History Month, I believe it was, if I'm reading this correctly. It was a Black History Month event at the Naval Observatory. Sorry, it was not BET. It was just a Black History Month event. And it was at his home there at the Naval Observatory. And his temporary home. It's not his home, Greg. Yeah, thank God. Okay, sorry. Just for a little bit longer. The vice president said that the idea of voter ID is evidence of hatred and zealotry. It's nice. It's nice to do a Black History Month speech and try to stir up anger, isn't it? I mean, let's try it. Let's have a bunch of people come over to the White House Vice President's residence and then tell them that America hates them. That's just a great way to bring us together. Thanks, Joe! He said the votes to authorize that he took to authorize the Voting Rights Act were among his proudest as a senator, and he expressed frustration that the Supreme Court ruled that a key portion of the law is unconstitutional. And he said, I can't believe it. I thought we'd won that battle. Well, we did win it, Joe, because the battle was to stop states from doing their best to stop black people from voting. And there's no state that does that anymore. And what they found, the reason that the Supreme Court struck down the part of the law that said certain southern states had to approve any changes in how they did their voting, in how they did their districting, that they had to approve all that with the federal government before they could do anything, the reason the Supreme Court struck that down is because these states have changed. Right now, there is a higher percentage of black voters registered to vote in Mississippi than there are in Massachusetts. Yet Mississippi still had to go to the federal government on bended knee to redistrict. Mississippi has a higher percentage of black politicians elected and a higher number of black politicians elected than Massachusetts does. So how is it that Mississippi is still racist when it comes to voting? That's what they were saying, Joe. And in fact, the Supreme Court said, you know, we could see a way for this to still be constitutional if you actually came up with a formula that matched the numbers that we have in these states that would prove there's still a problem, and they can't. But that doesn't, listen, Joe Biden doesn't care about any of that. What he cares about is continuing to get black people to vote for Democrats with the belief that Republicans are racist. And the way he can push that is by calling them racist, calling them hate-filled, trying to make it seem like they want to repeal the Civil Rights Act. Nobody is voting against the Civil Rights Act. What they're saying is you don't need certain parts of it because we've come a long way, baby. In case you didn't notice, we've come a long way. This is not Mississippi burning anymore. Maybe we should be happy that we're not Mississippi burning anymore.
But Biden says, these guys never go away. Hatred never goes away. The zealotry of those who wish to limit the franchise cannot be smothered by reason. Want to limit the franchise? No. The only reason you would be against photo ID, Joe, is because you want voter fraud. It's really the only reason. You want voter fraud because voter fraud helps the Democrats more than it helps the Republicans. That's why you want voter fraud. It has nothing to do with racism, and you know it. Every time this has come up in front of the courts, Supreme Court level, voter ID for voters has been upheld. And you know why? Because there's a compelling state interest to make sure that there isn't voter fraud. Because every vote that is fraudulent cancels out a vote that isn't. It's just as wrong to have people voting fraudulently as it is to stop somebody from voting. Because you are. You're canceling out their vote. Well, it never happens. It does happen. And I've got some more examples of it. But there was a race in Kansas City, Missouri, where it was a Democratic primary. And the guy who won by one vote. One vote. And there were people telling television news reporters, yeah, I voted in that race, and I don't live in that guy's district. I voted for him because he's a friend of mine. I mean, they're saying it live on TV. There were Somalian immigrants who could not speak English bust in to vote in this election that was found to be fraudulent. He lost by one vote. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. And that was a Democratic primary. So I don't care who won, but it was fraudulent. It matters. The only reason you can be against voter ID is because you want the voter fraud. No, it's because it's harder for minorities to get IDs and therefore it's racist. I was in the DMV recently getting my license renewed and I saw black people in there and Hispanic people in there and Asian people in there. And I guess I should have walked up to them and said, hey, man, I don't know what you're doing here, but you're wasting your time because they don't give black people IDs. I don't even know why you're here. And you Hispanic dudes over there, I know that you're born here and you've probably been here more generations than I have because I'm a first-generation American. But since you got brown skin, they don't give you IDs. What? That's stupid. It is no harder for a black person to get an ID. It's no harder for a poor person to get a voter ID because in these states that require it, they will get it to you for free. For free!
Well, it's just too hard.
Just can't do it. Really? Then how do you run a video? How do you get a credit card? How do you buy a house? How do you rent a hotel room? How do you rent a car? How do you buy liquor if you're, you know, around 21 years old? I mean, how did you do any of these things if it was so hard to get an ID? It's patent nonsense. And in fact, in case after case, the people who are against this cannot even bring forward one person to prove that this is a discriminatory law because they'd have to bring somebody forward who can't get an ID, and they can't find people like that. Because the way they write these laws for voter photo ID is they make sure that there's ways for people to get ID who have problems. They'll provide it free. In some instances, they'll even bring a bus to them with a mobile ID maker. Not in all, but some states have gone to that. And yet they're still saying, oh, it's just racist. So I guess when you go in to buy liquor and you have to show an ID, that's a racist liquor store. When you go into a hotel and you have to show an ID to sign up for, I demand that you give me a room without ID or else you're a racist. I'm going to start trying that. Anywhere I go that I don't want to give an ID. I'm going to say you're racist against me because you're demanding an ID. Wonder how long that'll go. So a great piece by John Fund, who follows voter fraud closely. He's written a book on it. He's got National Review today where he's saying, here's Joe Biden ignoring the fact that voter ID laws were declared constitutional in 2006 Supreme Court decision by John Paul Stevens, at the time the most liberal justice on the bench. And yet he still says they're hateful and unnecessary laws. Well, the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation just wrapped up an investigation this month. They referred more than 80 cases of voter fraud to county attorneys for possible prosecution. 5 people have pleaded guilty to voter fraud. 15 others are facing charges.
The Iowa governor said these investigations cut down on voter fraud because they increased the risk for perpetrators. And the liberals are still saying, well, they shouldn't even look into this. It's a small number. Who cares? And they're saying that they're misusing the resources of the state to go after these people. Just going after a handful of voters whose mistakes might have been cleared up with a public information campaign. No, these people committed voter fraud. And the reason you have to go after it is undermining the entire system. Remember? Doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. Remember who said that? You know who's done a great job on this? Mexico, believe it or not. Mexico switched just a few years ago to having a photo ID and a thumbprint ID in order to vote. And you know what happened in Mexico? Same thing that's already happening here in the states requiring a photo voter ID. The voting went up. More people voted when they required that photo ID than before. And more minorities in America have been voting in the states that have this than did before the voter photo ID was put in. Now, in Mexico, the theory is they're having a much higher participation rate in voting after the photo voter ID because before that, everybody thought the vote was fixed. So why bother voting if you know the vote's fixed? But once they said you're going to have to do it with a thumbprint and a photo ID and we're cracking down on voter fraud and we really mean it, people went, maybe my vote matters this time. I guess I'll go vote. It's not about hate. It's not about zealotry. It's not about trying to decrease people's ability to vote. It's about getting rid of voter fraud. Here's the other part of this that Joe Biden won't even mention and the left ignores. How do you know how much voter fraud there is when you never really prosecute it? Let me ask you this. If I go down and I pretend to be somebody else who I know is dead and I vote for that person, who's going to complain? How are we ever going to know that that was a fraudulent vote? Let me say I do it through absentee ballot and I register somebody who doesn't exist in my house to vote, like people have registered their dog. And then I vote with my absentee ballot. Who's going to complain? See, the problem with saying there's no voter fraud is it's very difficult to even have a case start because you've got to have somebody complaining about it first. And how do you know what's happening? But according to Joe Biden, it's just because of hate. No, the only reason you would be against this, making sure that the people who are voting are legal, is if you want the voter fraud. You know, there are people who say that JFK won with voter fraud in Chicago. I don't know, but it's an awful lot of rumors about it. Who knows how many times we've had races turn on voter fraud? There's no way to tell because we don't even really investigate it. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, love your thoughts on that. And I want to get you into this whole 1% thing. There is a situation coming out where the police are probing some graffiti against the 1%. I'll tell you all about that in just a minute. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board, michaelsavage.com. We were talking about the voter fraud and how Joe Biden and, you know, the effort to unite America had a Black History Month speech at the Naval Observatory and told them that anybody who was for voter ID is hate-filled and a zealot and, you know, basically racist. Thanks for bringing us together, Joe. That's some good stuff. And, of course, the only reason that you are against voter ID is because you want the fraud. I mean, really, that's it. Let me get Paul in Huntsville, Alabama. Paul, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Let me call. I just wanted to let you know, when Obama got in the first election, I was standing in line, you know, to vote, and the African-American lady behind me was on her cell phone talking to somebody in Virginia, and I heard her say, and I'm not kidding, I was shocked. She goes, yeah, I already voted in Chicago. Now I'm down here to vote.
Wow. What'd you say to her?
I mean, what can I say? I mean, I in the neighborhood I was in, it was a nice neighborhood. But there were a lot of African Americans around, and I didn't have any problem with it. But her statement just shows exactly where reasons why we need to have this voter ID.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you getting in. And of course, if I'm a black person in that room, I'm mad at her because you're making it look like we're all fraudulent voters and we're not. You know, I'm here to vote legally and you're here doing this and you're making it look bad, man. Let me get Harry in Santa Fe. Harry, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. A few years back I was sworn into a naturalized citizen. The moment you come out of that swearing-in ceremony, you have people who want to register you as a registered voter. And what I found interesting is, I've been in this country for a very long time, so I was well aware of the politics in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously knew the party that I wanted to join. But what I found interesting is that they already had the two parties and the D party circle in for me and said, well, you know, you just fill this in and just give it back to me. And I asked them, why do you have my that's not the party I want to join. You got the wrong party for me. And I said, well, you know, most people go for this party, especially if you're an immigrant or something. And I said, absolutely wrong. This is, you know, you guys, well, I know what I'm doing, but I know in that same ceremony there was a lot of people who did not know what party to join. And they were basically just being told after the ceremony, well, this is your party, this is the party of the immigrants, and this is the party you want to join. Which that's ridiculous.
Harry, was that an official group, or was that just a get-out-the-vote group?
No, that was an official group and this was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, this was about a long time back.
Sure, but I understand. Thanks, Harry, for the call. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who still think, well, you know, if you're an immigrant, you should be for this party. No, to me, you should be for the party that actually stands for, well, you should be for yourself, and you should be for the Constitution and the founding documents. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage, Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, or michaelsavage.com. And we were talking about the voter fraud and Joe Biden saying you're hate-filled and you're a zealot if you actually think we should have voter ID. And there's really no fraud, except there is, and we keep finding it. Well, it doesn't matter. And we'll talk about that. But I also wanted to throw this one at you. This idea, talk about dividing people beyond what Joe Biden is doing. The class warfare that's been played by this administration is dividing us like never before. This idea of the 1%, the top 1% somehow are evil. Now, here's the thing. There are bad businessmen. There are evil, greedy businessmen. And if you allow the free market to really work, you know what happens? They go bankrupt. They go out of business. Because you can't survive for long being that type of a businessman. The problem is, we're bailing them out. That's our government's fault. That's not the free market. My dad used to have a saying, time wounds all heals. You know, a little play on that cliche. As time goes around, those people are going to get theirs. It's going to backfire on them. They're going to have their comeuppance. It's basically instant karma going to get you, right? Time wounds all heals. But the problem is, it doesn't anymore because our government bails them out. But, you know, the vast majority, I think the last number I saw was over 80% of the millionaires in America are first generation self-made millionaires. Not people who inherit money. First generation, built it on their own, and somehow they're evil. Somehow we should be mad at them. Somehow it's wrong that they became successes. Hey, I'm not a millionaire. I'd love to be one day. I'm working on it. I want to get there. But I'm not mad at the people who are richer than me. I've never worked for somebody poorer than me, have you? I like the fact that you could become a millionaire in this country. I like the fact that the people who are becoming millionaires are usually people who have started their own business and are employing people, are providing them the wages to take care of their family. And they're spending their money, and they're saving their money, and they're investing their money, and when they invest their money, it lets other people expand their business.
right? I mean, when you buy a lot of stock, you're helping that company. When you put your money in the bank and they loan it out to somebody else, you're helping them. I don't understand how we got to this point that somehow success is evil in America.
Oh, a little of success is good, but if you get too much success, it's horrible. And then the people who are telling you that are living better than the top 1%. I mean, Obama, every time the wind blows, he's having a party with Jay-Z, Beyonce, and 50 different celebrities with $400 bottles of wine on your tab. And somehow the 1% are evil? So let me bring you this one. In the San Francisco Bay Area, there's reports that vandals targeting one of the Bay Area's wealthiest communities. Multi-million-dollar homes with offensive graffiti sprayed on them. Walls, fences, on a car. Many of the messages said, F the 1%. That's what we're doing in America today? We're going to destroy other people's property that they worked extremely hard to get. What's amazing to me is people, the people who are against success in this country, they're the same people that have no idea how to create wealth. They're the ones who believe that somehow there's a pie, a limited pie of money. And if you get more, I get less. You know, remember the old Jefferson song, the old theme song, you know? Well, we're moving on up, remember? I finally got a piece of the pie. Right, remember that song? Well, no, there is no piece of the pie. We make pies in America. You make all you want. Otherwise, how does our economy keep expanding? How do people keep making more money? If I make more, that doesn't mean you make less. If I live next to you and I get a $20,000 raise and you get a $10,000 raise, we're both better off. I didn't take money from you. You didn't take money from me. But as long as you keep preaching that like Obama does, that there's some pie, you're going to divide us. And you end up with people doing this. You know, a great piece by Thomas Sowell. You know, he's the well-renowned economist and columnist. Written a bunch of great economic textbooks and economic books for the layperson that are really good. If you're looking for explanations of how economics works, I highly recommend Thomas Sowell's stuff. So he said, you know, this idea of upper mobility, supposedly it's gone in America, but even the most recent studies show upper mobility is still just as easy now as it used to be. No, this economy's so horrible. Here's the thing, you're right, but you know what else? What determines your success is your philosophy, not this economy. That's what determines your success. If you want to believe that the economy is going to stop you, it will. You know, Henry Ford said, if you believe you can, and if you believe, or if you believe you can't, you're right. Right? But no. We want to blame it on something else. That's easier. Yeah, this economy is not great. But you know what? It's never been easier to start your own business. Internet connection, laptop, you're in business. It's never been easier. But you actually have to put out some effort. You know, and this whole idea with the idea of minimum wage. The minimum wage is too low. Look, this is all they'll pay. This is all the company pays. Have you ever heard that before? Look, this is all the company pays. Look what they're paying. That's not all the company pays. Yes, it is. It's right here on my check. No. That's all the company will pay you. Aren't there people at that company making a lot more than that?
Well, yeah.
Aren't there people making 10 times that?
Yeah.
So that's not all the company will pay, is it?
Well, that's all they're paying me.
Right. How come? Because you're doing the lowest level job they have at that company. How do you make more? Make yourself more valuable. Develop skills. Become more productive. Become more desirable for the company. Become somebody that somebody else wants to hire away. But that's up to you. See, the only way you're going to make your life better is for you to become better. But that's hard. It's a lot easier to believe Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Joe Biden telling you that it's these evil corporations that won't pay you a fair wage. Thomas Sowell says, you know, there's a sharp difference between upward mobility, defined as the opportunity to rise, and mobility defined as actually having risen. But it's as if they think that everybody is trying just as hard to get ahead, but everybody's not. And that the only reason people don't rise is because of barriers created by society. But we all know that's not true. You grew up with people. You live in the real world. You know that there are some people at your work who work their butts off to get ahead. And there are other people who come in and they spend hours at the water cooler.
Hey, how you doing, Bill? Working hard or hardly working? Oh, let me tell you what happened on the game last night. Oh, let me do this. Let me do that. Let me take a two-hour lunch. You know those people. And then you know the people who are there working their butts off and working overtime shifts whenever they can get it, and at night going to night school. And yet the person who's barely working is going to complain that he never gets ahead. And somehow it's unfair that the guy that's working 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week is making more than he is. Statistics show the sons of high school dropouts don't become doctors or scientists nearly as much as the sons of PhDs, and supposedly that means life isn't fair. But equal probabilities of achieving a goal is not the definition of fairness. Soul says, you know, I never thought that I would have an equal chance to become a great ballet dancer. In fact, it never crossed my mind. Does that mean that there was an unfair barrier keeping me from being a ballet dancer? That's a great point. He said, a distinguished scholar once told me, as a young man, that he was not even thinking of going to college until someone else, recognizing his ability, told him he probably should. See, all groups, families, and cultures are not trying to do the same things. So the fact they don't all end up equally represented everywhere in society cannot be automatically attributed to barriers created by society, because barriers are external obstacles. That should be distinguished from internal values and aspirations. It's doggone right. Absolutely dead on right. You know, you could say, well, why are women, women are overrepresented as nurses. There must be barriers stopping men from being nurses. Women are overrepresented as elementary education teachers. There must be barriers stopping men from doing it. No, part of this is what you choose to do. In fact, most of it is what you choose to do. But that doesn't fit the agenda of class warfare, pitching one against the other, trying to say this party doesn't care about you, this party isn't compassionate, this party is. You can't get ahead without us. You need to vote for us. We'll get that minimum wage up for you. Do you really think the minimum wage is the way that you're going to become successful in this country? By the way, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid had to delay action on raising the minimum wage. Of the 55 senators who are Democrats, he could only get 32 to sign on. So wait a second. The Democrats, who say this is their number one priority, can only get 32 out of 55 to sign on, and yet it's the Republicans who are so evil, mean-spirited, and hate-filled that they don't want you to make a higher minimum wage. I want everybody to not even have to worry about what the minimum wage is. But you're not going to get that from some government law. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm going to take your final thoughts on that and get you some gold for the weekend. Men, I have gold for you. Do not miss this, okay? Stay tuned. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage, the Savage Nation. I'm going to take your calls here in just a second. People still wanting to chime in on this whole voter fraud and also the illegal alien thing. We'll get to that in a second, but I promise you gold. Men, and maybe that's not fair, women too, Greg, okay? All right, married men, though. Married men for maybe a long time. All right, here's your gold. Next time that you hear, I've got a headache, here is your gold. Psychologists say making love can boost intelligence. It's a new study out. There's also previous research showing sex helps decrease your stress, burns up calories, but now they just did some studies on mice, found that sex increased the creation of neurons located within the hippocampus, helps your long-term memory, and then when they stopped those mice from having sex afterwards, they lost their memory. So honey, you want me to remember what you're saying? You want me to remember conversations? You want me to remember to pick things up at the store? Let's work on my long-term memory tonight. That's what I want to do. Don't you care about my... And then, oh wait, there's more. They also found
that older couples who are more sexually active have less odds of getting dementia. So, honey, we're warding off dementia. We're improving our long-term memory. We're burning calories. We're reducing stress. And increased sexual activity floods your brain cells with oxygen. What else do you need? There's your gold for the week. Right there, men.
All right, let me get your thoughts on this whole voter ID stuff. Let me get Marie on, WJR. Oh, I'm sorry, hold on. I apologize. That's not the one I wanted. Let me go to Daniel. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm one of those people who work 72 hours or more a week.
Oh, my goodness.
I save my vacation time, and at my own expense, I volunteer to sign people up to vote. As soon as the voters' rights bill was challenged, places that we have been using for 28 years now won't allow us on the property. They say it's a state building. They changed the regulations. And also, we have been able to use young students who were going to college. They've been able to use their college ID. They can't do that anymore. And when we sign someone up for voter registration, we make sure they have valid state ID. So, you know, I'm amazed at the extent that's been going on, especially in from Virginia all the way down to Arkansas, Alabama, Missouri, Kansas.
Daniel, hang on a second. So you're telling me that if you have student ID, somehow you can't get a driver's license?
You know what?
What?
You say it's a gripe about having to have ID. Everybody has ID. It's
right.
You're allowed to use it.
Well, but you need to have state-issued ID to make sure that it's real, because it's super easy to get a fake college ID.
When you go to college, you take your issued ID.
Okay, I'm having a hard time hearing you. There's a problem with your phone, but there's no problem with you getting a state-issued ID. And there needs to be one that you really can get. And different states have the different things that they allow you to use to vote, but it needs to be stuff that's a state-issued ID. It's not hard. It's actually pretty easy. Hey, let me get Marilyn in, KSFO. She wanted to talk about this top 1% resentment stuff going on that we just hit. Marilyn, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Okay, I just want to say, as a disabled person, I don't resent people's success. I would like to have that in my life, too, but I'm struggling on $800 a month. I live just down the street from Googly. What I do resent is a lot of us who are, you know, disadvantaged or being pushed out of the Bay Area more and more. My husband and I have tried for 6 or 7 years to get on Section 8 housing. It's filled up with the illegals and whatever else, so I, you know, ended up living, he and I lived in a trailer with friends of ours. They're also on disability, and we're just, you know, struggling to make it, so... You know, we shouldn't all have to just go leave the Bay Area because some people are just becoming successful. You know, it's not so easy if you're disabled to just pick up and leave.
No, I understand that, but here's the thing. One of the reasons that it's harder to find affordable housing in the Bay Area is also from what the government has done. And what the government has done to things like fixed rents. And it sounds counterintuitive, but if you look at the studies on all this, the places that have that have had the highest increases, because when you have the landlords having to keep these prices artificially low, they have to jack them up in the other place because of the whole supply and demand focus of all this stuff. But what's the alternative to that? Is that the government comes in and tells everybody exactly what the rent should be? It's a tough one on that. But I appreciate the call. Thanks so much for getting in. I also want to get Diego in, WFTL, on the illegal alien issue. Diego, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Greg? I just wanted to say a couple things. Like, I've been...
Gotta go quick.
Almost 20 years, you know, and one thing I don't agree, I couldn't go to college because due to economic reasons, I couldn't hold a job and pay for rent at the same time. I can't pay for things, and I can't charge more for what I do. I'm a welder, and I remodel houses.
Well, being a welder and remodeling houses, you should be on your way to being more wealthy and to be able to get yourself through college. I think you're well on your way, man. Hey, thanks for getting in. I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody participating in the program. Thanks to Dr. Savage for having me fill in.
Savage. The Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention here.
Weekdays, noon till 3.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.